Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening? We present to you Fabulous Fridays, produced by the amazing producer himself, G. Lou, hosted by Queen Jean and Cousin Marcy. Tap into our studio line at 914-803-4001. Press 1 to speak. West Coast at 7 o'clock p.m. and East Coast 10 o'clock p.m. If you can't get to a phone, you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/the G-Lou Show. Thank you very much for your support. Looking forward to giving you all a fantastic, fabulous show. One love, Ashe. Peace.
Black bottle of wine, set the sky, set them on fire, rise up even higher.
Yay, yay. Hey, now. Cousin Mercy here. I hope everyone can hear me okay on this fabulous Flashback Friday. You're tuned in with us again on this ninth day of December 2022. We are going to be having a very special evening. We have to thank, of course, our wonderful producer, Mr. G. Lou, Queen Jean. She's going to be stepping on the mic in just a sec. But I'm going to be doing kind of a little hosting. We're going to do something really, really fun tonight. So I hope everyone is ready for some fun. Let's go ahead and shout out our sponsors really quickly. That would be, of course, the G. Lou Show at thegloushow.com, where you can purchase all your unisex apparel. You can check out the previous Blog Talk radio shows there and the amazing music catalog of G. Lou. It includes the latest project, which is 1122, produced by Mr. DJ Maniac. We're going to shout out at Digital One West, BTP Media Group, Tweet Cadillac, One World Magazine, and the G. Lou After Hours live show. Dee Dee Harrison, we thank you all for your support. So if with no further ado, we're going to give our studio line, because I know somebody out there is going to want to tap in tonight. It's 914-803-4001. You could press 1 to speak, but you do have to wait for the producer to go ahead and bring you in. So just be patient. He'll go ahead and bring you in. That song that we were bought in on, Black Butterfly, Denise Williams, one of the interviewees' favorite. With no further ado, let's welcome our wonderful Miss Queen Jean. Hey, Queen.
Hey, cousin. How are you? Good evening.
Hey.
You're a wonderful producer, amazing producer. Hey. What's happening?
That's right.
It's a beautiful evening. To be honest, it's kind of crazy, but I'm a little bit on the edge. But I'm going to be all right. I got
really?
Me some 1800 watermelon margarita. And it's over ice, so it won't be that strong because I haven't been drinking in a minute. So, yeah, I'm just going to I'm here at your service,
yeah.
So I'm not going to get nervous. I'm just going to chill
and
enjoy
the
yeah, that
I
song,
know.
Black Butterfly, is actually, that's my anthem, Black Butterfly. That's my anthem. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening? We have
beautiful words.
Yes, some beautiful words. Like, it's just like you have a vision. You visualize just that black butterfly just flying free, you know, just over the oceans of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful. I was telling my daughter today, there's squirrels over here, right? There's just a lot of squirrels over here. And I told my daughter, man, look at that squirrel. It's just free. Don't have a worry in the world. All these acorns are right here on the ground for them. All they got to do is go up and down the tree. I've seen a squirrel build a nest, and I've never seen that before. I only seen birds. So it was amazing to sit up and watch those squirrels build a nest up in the tree. They was running down there like a roadrunner girl going down the trunk of the tree. And I was like, this is amazing. But this was in the summer, but the nest is still there. So squirrels, only thing they got to be careful of is just running out in the road. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, yes. So anyway.
They really got it made.
Maybe they can do your
thing. They over there.
Right.
They over there. Special animals. They got it made. Yeah. I'm going to do my thing. Now you know I'm going to do my thing.
That's
what
thing.
I was going to say to you is I for sure, for certain, I'm not going to make you nervous. So we're going to have fun. I'm going to make it fun for you. You know, I always love to see you laugh. So no worries there. I started to get on here and say, you know what? I'm just going to be selfish. I'm not going to ask her anything. I'm going to know all about my cousin and nobody else can. Show's over. And I said, nope. I said,
you
can't do it to people like that now.
When it comes to me. Yeah.
I mean, you just like want to hold a grip. You hold that grip on me. Yeah, that grip.
I do.
That grip of love. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you truly do. I'm just like, but I'm blessed to have that. You know, I'm blessed to have you in my life. I'm blessed to, first of all, I'm going to give praise to the Most High and also to G. Lou for Blog Talk Radio and bringing me to be a part of this platform. I'm at a place in this on this platform and doing what I'm doing now that I never knew that this was going to be a part of my journey these last 3 years. I just had no clue that I would be doing anything like this, but it's like a circle for me. I've always been into broadcasting, it seems like, you know, working up at USC and being a dispatcher. That's a, you know, it's like I've always been on the mic, so I was like, okay. But thank you so much, G. Lou, for bringing me to be a part of the G. Lou family, trusting me to, with your name, you know, with your brand, trusting me with your brand. I thank you for that. I thank you so much. And I thank the listeners, those who do tune in and check on me, and some I have gotten to know on a, I don't want to say a personal level, but on a different level. So thank you all as well. So anyway,
Yeah, you know, the people, they enjoy you. You all draw the audience in. That's how I'm probably talking to y'all today, tonight, or whenever you hear me. So, yeah, just that whole circle, like, I'm thankful for you all as well. But it's truly an honor because I believe very much into sharing the history. And it's very important to me because I was the child that sat there and listened. I had no choice because there aren't all the kids around, and my parents are so older. Well, not so older, but you know my parents anyway. We're going to get into that, y'all. We're going to get into everything. but, yeah, just listening to those stories, I love to do that, like to hear about the people that you may not have been around. Like, you hear the things and the different things that they've done in their lives. Some of them, you know, they have multiple properties, like, and with our family being so huge, that's what makes it even more an honor, because we do have people that do broadcasting. We do have people that had TV shows that just try to branch out. We have so many authors in our family, so you're part of that to me. So, yeah, that's why I said it'll be fun. So we're going to get into it. I know Mr. G. Lou is there, but you want to say when you want to play a song, because we don't have a lot of songs we're going to play tonight. You could just let me know. But other than that, I'm gonna get into it. So take a sip, take a shot. 914-803-4001. We are on this fabulous Flashback Friday doing an interview with the wonderful Miss Queen Jean. I love your name as well. But just to start you by no means are ashamed, afraid to let the people know your age. but I know you came in about, I think it was August the 1st. I'm not going to say the year. But what I wanted to ask you was if you could tell the people just where you're from, and where you came in at, where were you born, what city, and what was it like growing up where you were from, just kind of like the atmosphere, which you could remember. Share any details with us that you can, like, I'm talking pre-elementary school. We'll just start it there.
Okay. My name is Jean, of course, Jean V. Berkeley. The V is actually for Vernice, and I sometimes want to say Victoria's, Voluptuous. You know, I always have to add a little spice to that V. I don't mind sharing my birth year. So I was born August the 1st, 1959, so that makes me 63 years of being blessed to be here on my journey. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Compton. Compton, California, 90220 and other zip codes. I stayed right off of Central as a child, where there's now is infested with Nutty Block. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. But there's a gang over there now that's called Nutty Block, and people would ask me, oh, so you from Nutty Block? You over in that area? I told them, no, I was a child. When I was standing there, we didn't have that. We was able to run a relay in the middle of the street when the street lights came
right.
on, the big old bright, pretty lights, and we had a can, but we was passing a baton. That's what my daddy said. We're going to pass the baton. So, like, kind of like what Williams girls' daddy did with them, took them to the tennis courts. Well, my daddy had us running up and down the street, and I did run track for a minute, but I didn't make a profession out of it. So, and also,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You ran track. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, my mom ran track. You know, I have to give rest in peace to my parents. I lost my mother in 2003 is when I lost my mom. I'm talking too fast. And I lost my dad in 2013.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was staying with you when my dad had passed away. I had been out in California visiting, so thank you and the girls for just really being there. But my mom, she was a preacher's kid, so I was raised on that foundation of religious Church of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. My dad, he was more the gangster type, but genius. He was very smart. He spoke 7 different languages. He fought in the Korean War. He got him a Purple Heart. He was my Malcolm X. So that upbringing from him was different. So I'm balanced. You know, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I have a balance in
definitely
life from where I come.
Yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's why I can sometimes. That's why I am who I am. And then with my grandparents, my big mama, and then our grandmother Berkeley, who was a spiritual mm-hmm. palm reader. So these things have molded me into being the young lady that I am. When I was
mm-hmm.
in elementary school, I was a very shy girl. I was very shy. I was quiet. I was always to myself. You could have said I was a scary cat standing in the corner away because everybody was like a monster to me. I knew I didn't want to be bothered. So I stayed out the way, and I carried that whole personality, that character with me throughout school. Junior high, I went to Willowbrook Junior
mm-hmm.
High. I went to Longfellow Elementary, Caldwell Elementary, and then I went to Willowbrook Junior High, and I went to Centennial High. So at Willowbrook, it was
mm-hmm.
7th through 9th grade, which they call that middle school from 6th grade to 9th grade, I believe. So, yeah, I went to junior high. I didn't go to no middle school. So that's when I kind of
me too.
Kind of opened up and came up out of my shell just a tad bit. But when I went to Centennial, I really came up out of my shell because it was a whole different ball game, and it was just a lot going on. So that's what made me Mean Jean. That was my moniker then. I was called Mean Jean. It actually started in junior high. So of course, I took that and I embraced
wow.
it and I let it be known. Yeah, I'm just not the one.
Remember yeah.
what you guys are calling me, you know. So
Right. Why are they trying to name you?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Absolutely. So when we stayed in Watts, down the street from the Watchtower, we had a 2-bedroom house, little small house. We stayed right in front of the tracks. That was, if you go across Imperial, you're in Lindwood. So we was right there. But we stayed right down the street from the Watchtowers, and it was a 2-bedroom, and there were 8 kids in that 2-bedroom. So my dad, you know, his craft of building, he built 2 sets of bunk beds. So that's how we did that. But that was our bonding time. My siblings
mm-hmm.
are my first friends. You know what I'm saying? They're like my first
how
friends.
How many siblings for the people? How many?
It's 8 that was in that house, but I have other brothers and sisters from previous marriage. So it's
mm-hmm.
8 that was in that home. So we bonded. Mm-hmm. That was just us, and that's 8 different personalities. My mom, that's when I seen the strength. I've never seen or met a woman stronger than my mom, and that's just some real talk. Blue chip
yeah.
stamps, powder, eggs, powder, milk, standing in the lines like the blessings of the nonprofit organizations. Now, that's what we we were involved in that. You know, we grew up like that. And I thank God for that. I'm not ashamed. I mean, you know, that's just a blessing to grow up like that, because when you grow up like that, you can appreciate life more. You take nothing for granted, and you learn that material things are just that. Don't put a value on who you are by wanting to be like everybody else and want to have the nicest things. Don't do that, because that can be snatched away from you, and then it's a disappointment. You lose yourself because you're like, man, I can't believe that I went from this dollar amount to this dollar amount, because you put a price on who you are. We didn't grow up like that. So I don't.
You had to survive very early. Yeah, because with, you know, eight
Absolutely.
Children in the house, it's like, here I am with these three and not growing up in a house with my siblings. I could not imagine. And I like you said earlier, I know how selfish, you know, I could be. So I'm sure there was many times where, but yeah, I was going to go ahead and applaud, because I know your mom, she was very involved. I know she sang for the church. Now I know she ran track. She raised off you beautiful children. She was just a light, and a lot of her shines through you. I did have interaction with your mom, but back when I met her, I was, like you said, the shy, you know, person, like, ooh, I'm scary, but, you know, I knew you were a part of me, so thank you for letting us know about that. And then what you were saying also when you were talking about, like, the schools and everything that you had went through, or went to, rather, my bad. What was your favorite subject in school? And it could be from any age bracket.
Let me just tell you, okay, when I was in elementary school, I loved to spell. I used to be in spelling bees. That was just my thing. I would want to be in the spelling bees. So that's when I was at Ritter, and that was in Watts. And I won one time, which was cool for me. At least I won, you know. So that was one of my favorite subjects, spelling.
That's
a shame.
That's my favorite,
say,
too.
History.
No, you know what? That
was
my favorite, too. Yep, in history.
Yeah.
I didn't even mind writing standards.
I didn't like
that. That's how bored I used to be.
Absolutely. I really felt like I learned more at home from when our dad used to make us be in encyclopedias. But my report cards were always good. You know, I had good grades. I did good in school. I did what I was supposed to do, because I owe that to my parents. You know what I'm saying? To at least go to school and do good in school. So I was good in school as far as academics. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. My citizenship grades, was the numbers were always high, because we didn't have numbers then. At Centennial, when I got in high school, I kind of slacked a lot. I slacked. I actually did. I set the trash can on fire in my history class. I mean, I could say it now because I got my punishment when I was going to Centennial. Because you know why? We had a black teacher as our history teacher, and some of the kids were disruptive in the class, and she'd be like, she said something that was just really foul to me. She said that I got my education. If you little colored kids don't want to get your education, then that's all right with me. And I was like, I'm not going to even say what I said, but I set that trash can on fire and went out the back door. But of course, I got in, you know, got disciplined for it. But
You took me right into my next question.
What was that?
Were you aware what happened in 65? Were you still in Watts when the first
riot came. Yes. I mean, my father made sure that we knew of that and you know, kind of prepared us for it, and we watched it and everything. So yeah, that was just something else. And I remember even when John Kennedy got killed, I actually cried. I think me and some of my other siblings, we just actually cried. So yeah, that was That was something else, that riot. It really was. It was scary too.
Yeah, you see stuff. That's history.
Yeah.
A prominent history to be around, and then you go through the decades, and that's, again, I keep bringing it back kind of to education because of your background in that, and then we're going to move forward, but how we actually met, it has something to do with, you know, education, which is so important. Each one teach one. I'm always, you know, eager to learn. You have that it's like a natural teaching to me, ability in you. You could show someone how to do something, or you'll make it seem like, you know, hey, you could do this too. But like I said, we're going to move a little bit forward. Did you want to play a song, or you want to keep going?
Oh, yeah, we can hit a joint. I mean, play a song.
What?
I said joint today. Back in the day, we called songs joints. That's old school. You know, they'd be like, man, that's a hip joint right there. So today I said that, and my daughter was like, did you just say joint? And I was like, yeah. She said, you're just so old school. So, but we can play a song. Yeah.
Okay, that's so funny. I was saying, me spill my coffee out. Lord, see, I had to get coffee. I got to be alert for you, Queen. Mr. G. Lou, he's going to be in and out tonight, but if you're there, I guess we could go to Sweetest Taboo, but I'll just keep talking just until. I also wanted to ask you, was there like a certain point of time, and we are family, that you knew, like, that you had a huge family? Like, did you just kind of look up one day and be like, you know, everybody goes over at Grandfather Berkeley's house? Or what was that like? Because I always found comfort in that. What was that like for you?
It wasn't a shock. I wasn't shocked because the huge family started with our family with the 8 kids. And actually 9, because mommy had 9 and Grandmother Berkeley had 9. My mother had most of the kids out of everybody, out of all my first cousins. But no, because I grew up with them, so it was not like, ooh, but what does shock me now is that I always looked at them as being so much older. You know what I'm saying? And now that I'm at the age I'm at, I was like, man, they're only 2 years older than me. And I've been thinking that they're like 12 years older than me and 10 years older than me. But it's really a blessing, because with Grandmother Berkeley and Grandfather Berkeley having 9 kids, look at that, 9 kids. Oof. Every one of our uncles and aunts have children. So our first cousin bloodline is huge. You know, it's
so
huge, because it's the Berkeleys, the Davises, and the Cornells, you know. So it's just huge. And then they have children.
Like 50
so the generation.
Just said those 3.
Absolutely. Our cousin Shamanics has said, we don't have a family tree. We have a forest. And that always has stuck with me. I was like, man, that's pretty deep, because we do. We have a forest. It's a blessing to come from a large family, and it's really a blessing to be a Berkeley. You know, anybody that really has had real close ties with a Berkeley would agree with me that it's a blessing to be part of our family, especially if you come from the sandbox, if you come from when we stayed in Watts. We used to stay in the Nickerson Gardens, you know. We stayed around the corner from Imperial Courts as you know, my childhood. So when people say, where you from, that's why I always say Gumbo Hood. I'm from the hood of Gumbo, because we lived everywhere, you know, just everywhere. And to go further into that, every time we moved, I thought my parents just had money. I was like, man, they got money. We got
money,
girl. But those were eviction notices. We just didn't know.
We didn't know because
you know why? It wasn't none of our business. It was their job to protect us, you know, to just make sure that we had a place to stay. So to tell your child that anything like that, it just wasn't happening. All we knew was that it was time to start packing. You get some big cardboard boxes, and you in there trying to throw things together. So,
It is a blessing, like you said, and like I was saying, like that's what you pour out into this world. You know, you put your inspirational quotes and things like that up, and it just reminds me, like I said, both our fathers, like their kinship and how close they are, were. Rest in peace, Uncle Watson. Like it seemed like it was only destined that we would eventually like meet, but that's something that I cherish too. And that family element, but it's like somebody is always trying to like teach somebody something. And that's priceless right there, just like how you do or how you did. We're going to skip also into your, we out of high school now. She set the trash can on fire, allegedly, okay? but what did you... I'm so sorry, y'all. What did you want to be after you graduated high school? Did you have any idea, or did you just like wing it, like say me?
I truly didn't have any idea, because I was just, you know, whatever God put forth me, and I knew this is what I was supposed to do, I was just going to do it. I never set a goal and said, oh, I want to be a lawyer, or oh, I want to be a doctor. That just never, because my mother was a housewife and my father was a gangster. He was a promoter. He had a gambling shack built onto the house. You know what I'm saying? So it was like that, and I was just going with the flow. But as I've gotten older and become more spiritual, I know it was just the journey. You know what I'm saying? Like you can plan, but God has his own plan. You know, the plan, God has a plan. So I think that's what I was going on and just didn't realize it, because, and I say that to say, I became a mother at a very young age. And
okay.
So,
how old is my ex?
I was 22 years old with 3 children. I had my oldest child on my 18th birthday. So then they're all like 2 years apart. My last one I had on the 4th of July, but they're all in their 40s. So I basically was just being a mom. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, what are you going to do? You got your first child straight out of high school. Well, you didn't graduate from high school, but straight out of school. Okay, you're going to have the baby. You go get on welfare. Mm-hmm. You let, you know, the people who pay taxes take care of you, the food stamps, the county checks, you know, the first of the month, that type of thing. And I did that for a year. And then I got blessed with my first job up at, well, my main job up at USC, because I used to work in a paraphernalia shop on 54th and Crenshaw. I used to work in that smoke shop right there while I was just looking for little things to do to try to make money. Yeah, I worked over there, and I loved it because I got to learn a lot. I got to meet some real players, and this was in the early 80s, so that generation of players, you know what I'm saying?
How did you get that job?
Yeah.
Like, how did you, what did you,
one of my sisters,
what was your position?
I was at, you talking about at the smoke shop?
No.
Are you speaking of the smoke shop? Oh, okay, because I was going to say at the smoke shop, there is no position. But up at USC, it was, I was looking for a job, and my son's godfather, rest in peace to Cedric, my mother's good friend, he's an ex-brother-in-law, he became a big part of our lives, and he was working over at USC, and he told me that during registration, they always hire people just to come to work in a gym to do the registration. So I went over there and did the interview, and I was hired. So that's where I started. I started with the registration, registering students. And the security came in there, and, of course, they just used to come in there and just hang out. And somebody said, they ain't never used to come over here like that. So I was like, okay, I'm bringing the boys to the gym. And they said, are you looking for a job? And I said, yeah. They said, what are you going to do after this? And I said, I'm just going to look for another job. And they said, well, we hiring over at our department. You can come over there. We're hiring for an information clerk. I didn't think twice about it. Like, well, okay, what does an information clerk do? I mean, it's obvious, information clerk. You're going to be giving out information, looking up information. It had to be one or the other. So I did. I went over there after this job was complete, and I went over there and had my interview and got hired the same day, and I started as an information clerk, and that was in 1980, right after my second daughter was born. So I was able to get off of work because I had got me a job.
I was three.
That had became my career. I started off there as an information clerk. I did that. And then I was promoted to a records processor. And I love that job, that part of it, because it was more brainy work, you know. As an information clerk, you're just taking information. When the students walk in and you pass information to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher put the call out. I was doing records.
You like pushing that paper.
Yeah, records was just quite interesting because I worked with all the LAPD departments that was within the surrounding area of USC, like Newton, 77, Southwest.
Oh.
You know, I worked with those in the main one downtown. That was the main dispatch area. So I got to work. I got to know a lot of officers from each division when I was
in that
field.
That's a serious job. That's a serious for sure job. Like, were you ever like, that's law enforcement, that's anything, crime. Were you ever frightened at your job? Like, anything nutsy cuckoo like ever happened?
I really didn't. It was a job, so I didn't even think. But I was inside. I was a records processor. I was an information clerk. I was a records processor. So the only thing that kind of like had some concerns was when somebody may come in and request a report, and it can be a grimy report, because I did have one like that. And when I walked out, the way that the brothers looked at me, like, they wanted to just, you know, because it was a crime that happened. But anyway, records was good because I did the monthly stats, meaning the crimes in different areas, how many BF&Vs we have in this area. They call them reporting districts, and how many GTAs or how many 187s, how many 211s, how many armed robberies, how many petty thefts. So, you know, I did stats like that in different reporting districts. So when the officers would know which was the hottest areas, you know what I'm saying, like, okay, this is where most of the crime is happening, so they'll go and patrol that area more. So I did that, worked with a lot of different insurance companies. So that was the records processor. I did that until 1987. And then I was going to Germany. Was going to go move to Germany, so I had to leave. And before I left, they put me in the field. I became an unarmed officer, which was real cool because now I get to interact with the students. I get to know the staff. I get to know the campus really well, you know, the surrounding, the outside.
Right.
From Vermont to Jefferson, from Jefferson to Normandy. I mean, which I knew those areas because I lived over there, because we used to stay right around the corner from USC as well. And so I did that. And then I came back from Germany, because I was in Germany from 1987 to 1989. And
We can't just skip.
Okay,
skip.
Well, you let me talk.
I hear somebody skip. Rewind that.
Wait a minute. Hold.
You said
DJ Maniac.
You
let's see if that's DJ Maniac. Is that DJ Maniac?
Is that the...
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, how you doing? We didn't even know you were here.
We
didn't get told we had a caller or anything. And we're just talking. It must be interesting, huh? Because ain't nobody said nothing.
Sorry.
How are you?
I'm good. Queen Jean. Queen Marcy.
Yay.
Well, that's good. Great. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for checking in.
You know, we always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
And stay here.
We're
going to open up the line for questions. So if you still be here, because I do have like a little, it's a little trivia game we're going to do before we leave. But stay here. I was like, what is that? Okay. So we skip back on the story because we can't skip over. You became an international international star. You say you went to Germany and lived there?
I lived there for 2.5 years. I was married to a military guy, so yeah, I moved there, and I was in my late 20s when I moved there. So yeah, that was a good experience, a really good experience. It was a good experience for my children. I think I know my youngest daughter.
Oh,
she
wow.
learned how to speak German, but it was an experience. You know, you're living in a whole different ball game. I did get homesick, but my mother used to call me all the time, and I did work while I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the PX and the Shopette, and I hung out at the clubs. I knew where all the clubs was at. I met two girls. One was from New York, and one was from Georgia, and those were the girls that I hung out with. They were, like, real solid, you know, from, we was all from different places.
Yeah.
Which is, you never see one without the other. We hung out, and me hanging out, and I tripped. And so
you know that I'm always for the food. So what do we eat in Germany? What do we eat? What are we eating?
You eat bratwurst. They had bratwurst. They had those little cute cookies, and yeah, and you eat sauerkraut. But their food, and they had these real gigantic baked potatoes. They weren't baked potatoes, but they were potatoes. And the stuff you can just stuff them with. Their cheese is different. Their butter is different. Their style is, I love the European style. Of course, I had so much European clothing when I came back to the States, and I don't have a piece of it now. And everything over there was really inexpensive. Even as far as the appliances and the back then, most of the Americans they drove Mercedes. Most of the Americans either drove Mercedes or Saab. They really thought that they were doing something if they drove a Mercedes.
Right.
But the Germans, their logo on their trash trucks was they had Mercedes trash trucks. So to them, it was like, okay, look at the Americans. They really think they're driving something big. But, yeah, everybody drove Mercedes. And, of course, the guys would try to, just like lowriders, you try to outdo each other, and you're going to fix yours up a little different. But, yeah, but the food was good.
So life in Germany
was
pretty normal. It was regular.
You make it, you own it. You know what I'm saying? This is where you are. You're living here. You got to learn some of their ways, but you don't forget where you come from, and you own it. But it was a lot of Americans there because it's a military country. So, you know, you're around more Americans than you are Germans. When I first moved there, we moved upstairs from a German family because our housing wasn't ready. But when we moved in housing, we're just surrounded Americans, you know, different families. So, yeah, it was
we're so coddled. Like, that's fearless. Applaud to you. I don't even think to know if I could, like, to pick up, you know, and kind of, we're going to a whole other country. Like, that's awesome. No fear right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you. And we left just before with my children. They were babies. And we left just before the Berlin Wall was knocked down. We left a month before they knocked that down.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, so they had, the roads.
Did you go to that concert?
It's a beautiful place. Who, which one? Frankie Beverly. Frankie Beverly was there. I didn't even get to see the scene, but no.
When they knocked the wall down, that was a big thing.
I was back in California.
When they knocked the Berlin Wall
down?
Oh.
Yeah, we left a month before they did it. Yeah, we left a month before they did that. But it's real greenery. It always looked like it's fall. That beer, Heineken beer, is very potent over there. The Heineken over here is very watered down. And they have the trails, like the trails out here. But it was a really cool place to work. And I did work with a young lady there who had a hair salon. She was the only black beautician there. So she ended up letting me work in her shop. I was a shampoo girl. So that was actually my beginning of cosmetology. You know, I was under her wing and I was watching her. And so, you know, I went to cosmetology school, but that was just something to do. It wasn't for me to get a license, which I kind of wish I did take it a lot more serious because that's a good industry to be in now. So, yeah,
right.
But that was my journey in Germany, me and my children. And then we came back to the States.
That is awesome, Queen. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I left with a good rapport
totally
with USC.
Awesome.
I came back to one of the Christmas parties, and they again asked me, was I looking for employment? I told them, yeah, again, it was the same scenario. I came, took the test, had to do a whole background and everything, and I passed everything, and I got hired back up at USC in 1990 as an unarmed officer again. So I'm in the field. But it was a whole different ballgame. Things had changed, but it was all good because I was from the hood. So yeah, I wasn't scared of anything.
It was all good.
So I was in the field. Yeah.
I'm from the hood.
I mean, yeah. So I worked there from 1990 until 2004 because I became a dispatcher. I dispatched for 14 years before I left. Yeah, so that was my – and my children –
when you talked earlier about that – sorry to cut you off, Queen. When you had talked about, like,
it's
using
okay.
your voice, dispatching, would you say that was, like, the first where you kind of might have got, like, a little broadcast urge or you're like, I could do this. I got this. How did you like doing the dispatch?
Absolutely. I loved it. I loved it. It was a great experience. I learned a lot about law enforcement. Because I was the one to send the officers to get the people, to get the criminals.
Right.
And I would work early morning shift. Yeah, early morning shift was more the busiest shift, and people would think it wasn't that busy, but that's when your criminals come out. So it was always something happening where you had to, you got to learn the whole USC vicinity. You got to know, when to send the officers. You got to be accurate with your information because we didn't have an information clerk. We answer the call, we take the information down, and if it's an emergency,
right.
you hit the button three times, and the officers knew, okay, it's something finna go down. And you had to learn how to keep the caller on the line, calm them down, get the accurate information. They would get, like, I'm telling you if you know, and if you have to ask for their names, and you say, what is your name? It's Jeffrey. Can you spell it? It's common spelling. Can you please spell it? It's common spelling. Well, what's common to you is not common to me. Because Jeffrey spelled more than one way. We had to be that accurate with the information.
Yes, yes.
You know, so.
Pre-Microsoft
my first crime call,
too.
It was, yeah, yes. It was scary, the first crime call. It was, because it's in progress. You got to, your adrenaline gets going, but you have to tell yourself, hey, you are working with a call that's a crime in progress, a 261 in progress. Mm-hmm. That's a rape. You got to get it together.
Oh my God.
Somebody's getting raped. So, yeah, and we did, it was armed robberies where they just got robbed with a gun. You know, you have to get the right description. Just like what you see on these crime shows, that's what I did. You know,
yes.
The dispatchers are the very first people that you meet before you came to USC. We were at the forefront. Everything came through us. You know, so it was fun.
Wow.
It was a great place to work. So altogether, I gave USC 25 years. So I knew the gut of USC. That's
congratulations. Yeah.
Everything that really went on.
The beast, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, because we taught at the University of South Central. The University
right.
of South Central, girl. I was like, these students coming up here and just have no idea what they're getting into because they give the school
they
a facelift. Yeah, they give it a facelift every registration time. You know, you right in the heart of you in the hood. You in South Central. You right across the street from Exposition Park. You know, you down
they
the street
be in
from
Connecticut and the
Hamptons.
Like,
yeah,
I can't wait to
you
go
in the,
to
you in
USC.
The
30s.
You're in
like,
the area. Look, you're in the area of the 30s. You in the area of the 18th
mm-hmm.
Street. You got the fraternities and sororities over there. By 18th Street gangs. We used to do overtime to make sure that they wasn't robbing them students. You know,
right,
because those
right.
students are coming drunk and they right there on 18th Street. Them 18th Street gangsters, them 20s over there, girl, they was always getting them students. So that's where they were at. And they would just be so naive and you can see that you're not in the best place, but you're still so naive where you're just,
yeah.
Like you're still wherever you come from. You don't even could tell you're in the hood, but your mind, you're not there because you don't know.
Yeah.
So it was just like, wow. So yeah, but it was,
you
it
go
was
down
a very interesting place.
To north or south,
yeah,
and then you'll know for sure.
We had a cancer hospital in East LA. It was called Norris Cancer Hospital. So I was transferred over there to work in a cancer hospital for a year as well. And that was really interesting. That was an interesting security job because you're dealing with people that's coming to the desk, but you're still patrolling the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and that perimeter of the hospital, and you have to make sure people are not parking in the circle, you know, that type of stuff. And I got to meet some pretty interesting folks, you know, people that was high up, you know. Some I met some celebrities, and because that was a cancer hospital, so
yeah,
that was pretty cool. So let me stop rambling because you probably have some more questions, and I don't know if we're going to be able to get to some music if I keep running
my mouth. I was just no, that's what we're here for. We
but that's what
no
we
fear,
do,
have
right?
No fear on this intimate
conversation.
Fridays, we are here. I'm doing a Queen Jean intimate interview conversation for this progressive blog talk radio. Shout out to DJ Maniac, of course, our wonderful producer, Mr. G Lou. If anybody wants to get in on this, 914-803-4001, and you press 1 for Mr. G Lou to bring you in. No, I was just gonna, before I move on to my next question, I was gonna do one of my fun trivia questions. When you got to talking about the area and stuff in USC and all those streets, so I was gonna say red, blue, or both.
Oh, is that the trivia question? Red, blue, or both? I would say it was
red,
more
blue.
Yeah, it was more blue over there. Much more blue if we're on the same page, yeah.
That's a fun time, intimate conversation question, Queen. I'm talking about you. Red, blue, or both? Just pick one.
Oh, my goodness.
red,
blue, or both.
Funny.
Red,
blue, or both.
Oh, because it sounds like a tricky question because that can be I'm going to go with red.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. I got you. Did good. You did fine. Don't get nervous.
Okay. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. If you could have just seen my face, because it just stunned me in my temple. Like, this is what she's asking,
like,
girl. This is what it is.
That's what
together.
I'm asking you. It's gonna be simple stuff like that, like 80s or 90s. But yeah, truly having a good time with you. So we got back to Germany. We still got back from Germany, and we have our job at USC. Thank God we're still able to work there. I didn't get to ask you this part. You said you got back to Germany, but you said you and your children. Where was it? Just you all? At the time?
When we came back?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I was divorcing when we came back. It was a divorce in progress. So, yeah, when we came back. And I had to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what really helped
have,
you with your raising of your children? Like, how were you? Because, you had a very interesting job, a career, like what you were doing when I asked you about if you had no fear. But to have three children, like, what really got you through each and every single day? Did you have, like, other than your mom, like, did you have a mentor or a friend or, you know, just who are the people that were around Queen Jean at that time with her young kids and, you know, and just maybe assisting her with a kind word?
It was, wow. It was my faith in God, my children, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, my godmother,
mm-hmm.
And some of our friends. Because, like, you know, it's a lot of us as siblings, so each one of us had our own group of friends. So it was we was always around people, you know what I'm saying? Our home was the home that people
mm-hmm.
came to just to hang out, you know. It was a safe haven there. It was real cool. But it was my mom,
mm-hmm.
My grandparents, my mother's parents mainly, and my sisters, some of my older cousins. Just basically looking at them, I didn't ask a lot of questions because I'm an observer, you know, and I'd be like, okay, I see what they're doing, how they're moving, and I would listen in on some of the conversations of the older cousins who, like I said earlier, they're just now only 2 or 3 years older than me, and I thought they were way older than me, but they had a lot of more experience than I did. It was just, then you just do what you got to do, and you got to use common sense, you know?
You know, that's not common now these days. No, that's not common. These girls is out here.
I just
twerking on the gas station.
Oh my goodness!
With their kids, like we don't know what they killing their friends in Cabo. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I said my circle is. I don't have a circle. I have a dot, a straight dot. I don't even want to get into that part of anything, but yeah, truly I don't.
So I'm gonna tell you a funny story, and it has to do with your uncle. I just want to know if you have any funny stories like this too. Speaking of family, so I'll never forget one time your uncle, when he would still he would drink beer, but he would get so happy, so he got so drunk. But he managed to put up a whole room. Remember with the mirrors on the wall were the thing?
Mm-hmm.
He put mirrors on all
the
walls.
You could make them diagonal or square.
Yeah, when you could do like your design and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, didn't hear me out now.
Yes.
The man was drunk. He clearly was drunk. But he did it. He got it done. Do you have any memories of like either parent? Because I got stories with my mom too. And you're just like, man, you're messed up, Dad, or you're messed up, Mom. But you did that.
You said with either
cooking
one of my parents?
Anything. With either one.
Well, with my dad,
just a fun time
because my dad was real crafty with his hands, and he built us a pond. Mm-hmm. Again, this is when we stayed and watched. He built us a pond because, you know, we had to build your business. Our family had to build your business. So it was always slate around. So my father took some slate, and he built us a pond in the front yard, and there was goldfish in there. We kept goldfish in there. And that was like, I didn't know now how I was using it, but I would just be sitting there some time and just watching the fish. But that was meditating at that time. I just thought I was just sitting there in a daze. But that was actually meditating at that time.
Right.
So that was a fun thing. Yeah, and just to watch him build. You know, he taught us how to use a wheelbarrow.
Right.
And it's cement. You know, how to lay bricks. I know how to lay bricks if I have to, you know. Yeah, for real, real talk.
That's good. Yeah, that is so good. That it, you know, to be able to witness those things. And I, too, you know, of course, you know that, like with my dad, just watching him, that probably was our meditation. Like, we were getting, you know, some good influence. It is good. You do want to have, like, I think personally, both parents in the home. If it does, you don't have it, you don't have it. It is what it is. But yeah, it creates, you know, those kind of memories and like just to see your parents do certain things. But that's a blessing right there. So I probably couldn't
with my mom.
Lay no bricks, but I probably could get wasted and put some mirrors on the wall.
it's what you do now. You do that now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do that now. They can get a little wasted and be able to perform better. It just happens, you know. So with my dad, I never seen my dad wasted. If he was wasted, I didn't know if he was wasted. It was just normal behavior to me, so... I don't know. He was always
my
so
dad
smooth.
Would get so giggly. Right.
Oh, no, not
dad
my dad. My dad was a very, he was a very serious man, very serious.
Very.
He'll sit up and not have much to say and have those looks on, and you never know if he's looking at you or what the hell. What you looking
at?
Oh, my gosh. You know your head is in this direction. Yeah, but what
do
are
you
looking
know
at?
I would love, just, I used to tell you this. He did. He, we don't know what he would be looking at. And when him and my dad would get together, it would just be like they would just have me on all their banter with each other, just the way they could make each other laugh. But your dad, our aunties, they could do a mean cuss out like nobody's business. So that's, I used to sit there like and just be like, wow. So, and then like just again to be able to meet you and greet you and know you, all the, you know what I'm saying? It was just like a breath of fresh air, just to know somebody, you know, like in our family exists with it being so big and they so close to you. That,
yeah, because you thought
I
was married to the family.
Right?
Like,
you know, it was like this month that we got together all those years ago. It was like, yeah, it was later.
It
was after the Education of Success. Yeah, it was sometime around this month, like, what, well, 18 years ago. So, but yeah, I didn't
think
you
was
one of us.
Yeah, I
gave you my card. Yeah,
right.
She did.
She was like, how are you a Berkey?
She did.
And I was like, yeah, you said, how are you a Berkeley? No, what does a JB stand for? And I said, Jean Berkeley. And he was like, Berkeley, you, how are you a Berkeley? And I said, my father is a Berkeley. And when we told each other who our fathers was, that's when we was like, damn, we're cousins, first cousins. And it's like, wow, that's crazy. And
you
then
hear that
been,
dodo brain-ass question I asked you, though? What does JVB stand for? Like,
oh, no, I didn't hear that.
I'm like, is that a gang? What is JVB? Because your car was so, it was kind of like CIA-ish. It looked official.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, she not going to remember me. I didn't think you were going to remember me. That was the thing. But the rest is history. We're going to dive into that as well.
It was named after my mom.
Where we going?
In memory of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just jumping the gun.
Yeah. No, 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 you're good. You're fine, girl. We already on hour number two. Cynthia Nunn, is she giving her events tomorrow? Is she going to have her giveaway?
Yes, the food giveaway at 200 North Long Beach Boulevard in the city of Compton, California, 12 noon. Cynthia Nunn, S&N Angels, they give out food every Saturday. And tonight on the G. Lou After Hours, he's doing a listening party for his new project, 1122. So,
the
1122. Yeah, he's doing a listening party, and it's going to be in the blue room. So the room is going to be he got that vibe. That's something. He got that sexy vibe going for some sexy music.
That's
going to
be fun.
To the after hours on the YouTube
G-Lou,
show.
G-Lou, just let us know you all right over there. We let us know you're here with us, but we're going to keep going. I'm sorry, Queen. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's all good. Yeah, that was a good shout-out. Yeah, G-Lou. Let us know that you're okay.
In the blue room. All righty, so I got another fun trivia question for you, and we're going, since we were talking about this, libation, liquor, brown or white?
Oh, my goodness. When I first started drinking, it was straight brown. It had to be Remy Martin. Hennessy was just like, back then, Hennessy was just a drink, you know. That's why when you see the guys drinking Hennessy, these are old. For me, they're old school players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they drink that Hennessy. But I used to love to drink Hennessy with Coke or 7-Up. So it would be Hennessy, Remy Martin, even Christian Brothers. It was always the brown liquor.
Oh.
And that was our thing. And when Paul Masson came out, it was Paul Masson. You know, that was our thing. It was brown liquor. And then as I got older, then that's when I started drinking the white liquor and then even drink mixed fruity drinks, you know, like what I'm drinking tonight.
Yeah.
Stuff sneaks up on you. But I got ice in it, so it's diluted. It's probably going to taste just like a watermelon water right now. That's cool. So those were my choices.
Oh, wow.
When I was younger, it was the brown liquor. I had to have the long island iced tea because it was brown. It had more of a brown look. So, yeah, it was the brown liquor.
Mm-hmm.
But that Hennessy, that's what we was drinking, girl. We get that Hennessy. That Hennessy
wow.
was just like, Crown Royal every now and then. I wasn't a big fan of Crown Royal at all. I just liked the little bag that it came in. So,
You said Christian brothers. I just got back. I had to go and throw up right fast. Oh, Jesus. That's like a, you think about that and you remember the time you got toe back and just had to, be strong.
Yeah,
be
you
strong.
Know what? I just thank God that I don't drink like that, because I used to drink to where my face would get numb, and that's when I would know, okay, you own one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your face is just numb. That was just, you know, and that's how I used to be in Germany. But they had a brandy in Germany called Osbach. Girl, that brandy right there was so smooth. It was like the best brandy I've ever had. And when I came to the States back home, 32nd Street Market across the street from USC, they end up having that in their liquor department, but it was nothing like the one from Germany. It was called Osbach Brandy. It was nothing like the one in Germany. So, yeah, that's what I used to drink every time I was. Yeah, when I went to the clubs, because I hung out at the clubs. The clubs was like, I would dance until my fingers would get blisters. I'm walking off the dance floor, and the brother got his hand out. And I was like, dang, can I just sit down? But I didn't mind, because I had to dance the liquor off, you know.
Oh,
party,
my
party,
goodness.
Party. Absolutely,
Lord.
Girl, absolutely.
Party, party, party. That made me think of Eddie Murphy and Rick James. My girl wants to party all the time.
Girl,
just the years that
and
you're saying,
why,
and you said I popped my fingers till they bleed, got blisters, girl.
Yeah, girl, they got blistered up. Yeah, snap your fingers. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're home with a divorce in progress.
Oh, Jesus, that's gonna be a Queen G interview part two. Or keep
no, we're
gonna
even
right
speak on that.
This person. No. Okay, question that's got to be approved now, Masi. So I was going to go into that next thing. You got into it a little bit. The entrepreneurship, which one of our sponsors likes to say, no one knows how to spell. I can spell it. Entrepreneurship, you took a big, giant leap. Having worked for a company for, did you say 27? 25 years, okay, 25 years, and then, I don't know if you decided, I'm not going to put words into your, what you're going to say to us, what was the defining moment where you kind of sat back and said, I'm going to help these mothers out, I'm going to open up a daycare?
That was, from working up at USC, and I knew eventually I was going to be leaving, and what did I want to do? And I had, because after I lost my mom, my performance just wasn't the greatest performance. I just didn't even want to be there anymore, because people had changed. Some of the people that was cool, because the department started changing. The cool people were leaving out, and it was new people coming in, and people that I had grew up with in there, because I was 20 years old when I started working up at USC. So some of the people that I grew up with, they even flipped the script, you know, and it was like, oh, wow. But the officers, they was always cool with me. But what'd you say?
Perhaps you'd like to share it with your wife.
Oh, that sounds like a television. But go ahead, Queen.
Hello?
Oh, so.
oh, hi. Is that
so,
a caller?
Yeah.
Yes, it
That's
is.
DJ Mania.
Hey.
Oh, hi, caller.
So I had a question for you, Queen Jean.
Okay. Let me see if I got an answer for you. I'm listening.
What was your highlight of your life?
My children.
Good one.
Can't go wrong with that one.
I know who.
No, I can't, Bandana Davy.
That's why I was like, I know who this is. Because first instinct was, who is talking to
my children
right
and
now?
My grandchildren. Yeah.
That's right. What's up, Bandana Cuzzo?
What's the deal? I was just calling to tap in, you know, like I'm supposed to do.
I'm
Thank
so
you. How are
happy.
You?
So I'm pretty great. I'm pretty good right now. Was a little stressful
That's
earlier,
awesome.
But everything played out the way it's supposed to. But I just wanted to tap in
right
and check
on.
In and ask you that question right there, Miss Queen Jean.
Thank you.
That's right. You stole my question, cousin. I was like trying to say that to the. Oh, now I got to go to the question, the next one. You stole my question.
Well, I love
I
you.
I knew what she was going to say, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Give my grandbabies a hug and my love, please, and Natalie. Thank you.
Oh, I will. Okay. You guys get back at
Me
it.
Too.
I'm listening.
We love y'all.
Marcy, I love you. And
of
Mama, you already,
I love
know,
you.
You already know what it is. So
I know what it is.
Tell a friend. Call again.
I'm about to hop in the studio and make a song about burning Balenciaga. So.
You are
okay.
So silly. Do that. Yeah, do that. And stay here because we got something with your name on it. So stay here.
Oh, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna be here, and I swear.
All right. That's right. Look at you.
I love you, son.
Be there.
I love you too, Mama. You have a good one. Love you too, cuzzo.
Love you, cousin. Later.
Peace.
That's so funny. I was like, I know who that is. Hi.
I love you.
I know who this is.
You and me, girl. We go a long way back.
Way back. That's new old school.
A long way back. I remember, Cousin Jean, you was on my couch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we were killing, baby.
Oh, my God.
And look, I stuck on in there with you, and guess what, girl? We made it, goddammit.
Yeah.
We made it.
Oh,
y'all know
God.
I love y'all. Y'all know
you
I
know
love y'all.
We love you.
Cousin Marcy.
Yes, ma'am.
We
go a long way back. I knew it was you. Oh, thank you, cousin, for calling in. Yeah, we had to get
Girl,
our queen on the
spotlight. Oh, my goodness. You just, you know what? I'm just going to say
what,
all
girl?
Praise to the Most High. Because only God knows today the thought that went through my head. So, you know, thank you, God. Thank, you know, Most High, yes. Ancestors came through
goodness.
All that. I love you, cousin. We have to, you know, chop
I love
it up.
You
and yes,
too.
we go a very
we
long
go
way.
Long
back,
way
like.
Back.
Woo!
Oh,
Marcy.
Y'all go
Marcy.
Way backer Jesus. Than we go back. Yeah, I'm late
Marcy.
To the party. I'm about what?
when
yeah,
she
cousin.
Went to
I
Germany.
Love it.
Wait a minute. Wait. When she went to Germany, she was like, "Hey, I'm moving to Germany." I was like, "Okay."
Wow, I'm saying though, like I'm saying like
I'll see you when you get back, okay?
Like,
oh my
but
God!
But see, that's
look.
Why I missed her all those years. I didn't even know anything mm-hmm. of this lady till 2004. So when she
yeah,
left, like, I knew
Sophia
you,
now.
I knew everybody else. She was the only one I didn't know.
Right, and like you said, at
I guess I
Uncle Braxton's thing, at Uncle Braxton's party, he was like, and how come I didn't know about her? But Cousin Sophie and them, we all lived together for a minute, and that's why we called each other brother, sister, cousin, because we have a bond. I mean, I have a bond with all my cousins, but that bond that I have with Uncle Stephen's children is just like totally different. It's a whole different bond. Because we lived together. So they were there in some personal matters. You know what I'm saying? They were able to witness a whole lot of stuff. So,
We're so blessed.
But thank you,
be able
cousin.
To be doing this.
I love you. How, I love you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm kind of like shocked that you even tuned in because, you know, my prayers are with you guys. And
Oh, I know. I know. I was sitting here, look, sipping on my margarita, and I said, let me call them and see what they're doing. I said, let me see what they're doing. And it was a whole treat. It was like the Queen Jean show. I was like, okay, let me see if I can learn something new. But it's truly, this is a beautiful, whoever idea it was, probably Cousin Marcy.
No.
Beautiful idea, wonderful concept, and it's just cool just to chill and just talk, you know. And I know you love me, Queen. I love you too, and I know Miss Marcy, Cousin Marcy, love me too.
I don't even know you, girl.
No. I know.
Maybe y'all will see each other tomorrow.
Real quick.
New baby
Jean
got a job.
And Marcy,
she can't go. Huh?
Wait, what? What happened?
She say? She was saying
we'll
you can't hang
tomorrow,
up. You got to hang out.
Yes, we do.
No,
so what?
We do.
Yeah,
real
y'all,
quick.
That's
real
a whole,
quick.
That's a three-way climb. Go ahead.
You guys, you know, I've been dealing with my mom, and we've been, you know, trying to, you know, well, we haven't. Mm-hmm. We've been praying her back to health because, again,
right.
The doctors told us four different times, four different occasions, well, you know, prepare for whatever. They were like, our hands are tied. This is out of our control. So, you know, we prayed, and we got our mama home. Now, today was the first day my mother set up by herself since October the 5th. She has been just laying in that bed.
Hallelujah.
But
you
today
know,
she set up. She set up and got in a chair.
The power
got in a
of
chair.
Prayer. The power of prayer. Praise
yes.
God
yes.
for that. I mean, like the power
yes.
of prayer, cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I always say: pray, 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 pray. You got
to
stay prayed up, no matter
you
what the visual
to.
Is.
You
got
to
have that faith. You know, just because it's right there in your face, and it looks like, and the doctors tell you that, and because they're doctors, you want to like, okay, this is what the doctor said. But you know, I went through the same thing with my mom, and it's like, that's
right.
what the doctors are saying. I got faith in God. My mother ain't going nowhere this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They, God knows, you know. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. And praise God, you guys continue to pray because you know it's a lot of people praying. You got a lot of family
yeah.
praying with
Amen.
And for you guys. And prayer is
yeah.
very powerful. Like my brother, my friend G. Lou says, 7 days without prayer makes any situation weak. Any situation,
mm-hmm.
any person weak.
Right.
Definitely, you gotta stay prayed up. And all praise to the Most High. And I mean, sitting up by herself, she probably sat there like, woo, what's happening around here, y'all?
Girl,
yeah.
You know, I can see Aunt Irene springing up and like looking around like, what's up? What y'all looking like that for?
Wow.
So did you get that visual real quick? Did you see that visual?
Girl. The
yes,
first thing
yes,
she said
indeed.
Was, look, she's talking about, where's my drink? Where's my drink?
I was going to say that, cousin. I was going to say that.
Oh,
she's probably like, where's my drink at? Where's my cup? Where's my glass? Where's my can? Where is it? You know what I'm saying? But
look.
See, praise God. That's a blessing.
Yes.
That really warms my heart to know that Aunt and Irene is, you know, and it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Just you know what? And it's going to be better before what it was. It's going to be a whole different, it's going to be a big difference. You're going to see someone very renewed.
Yes.
Very
yes.
renewed. Yes. So give her a hug for us.
No, I am.
Definitely.
And I'm gonna say this real quick before I go. You guys, Jean, you know all the time when I would call you about my mom, how she was tripping out on me, and
mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't her. It was whatever she was going through, and she
mm-hmm.
was just being mean and ugly to me, right? And she wouldn't come out
mm-hmm.
that room. She would stay in her room, isolate. Every day since she's been sick, she's been saying, dang, I wish I could get out this room. I want to get out of this room. I want to walk. I want to get out of here. And I'm saying this to say, you guys, F everything. If you want to do something, do it. Only person holding you back is you. Ain't nobody holding you bondage. Ain't nobody holding you, putting no shackles on your feet. And I looked at my mom.
Especially
I said, you know, Mom, we're going to get you out of here. And seriously. I was like,
just
know
what? Taking her outside, you know?
Yeah.
Baby steps, because it's a new journey for her now. Like I said, renewed. You got a whole new person now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just keep paying attention and keep doing, you know, she want to change, make sure she get that change, you know? Because, it's a trip because I used to come up to your house. I had to look upstairs and say, hey, hi, Aunt Irene. She'd be like, hey. So, now I can walk in the house and she's sitting right there on the couch. Hey, Aunt Irene, go give her a hug. Because I remember on 142nd how we used to hang out. And Aunt Irene be sitting right there with us, hanging right out there with us.
Right.
So praise God. Because 142nd was the spot.
I wanted to go to 142nd. Nobody.
Girl, 142nd was the business, the block parties, just the hangout place.
I'm cracking.
I was on 131st. Y'all could have came and got me. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing, y'all. That is so good, though, Cousin Sophie.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You know I love you, girl. Look, let me go out. I'm going to exit on my theme music because I heard your theme music was Black Butterfly.
Oh.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna exit on my theme music, and you guys have a wonderful night, and I love you guys. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Boom, boom, boom. I make you weak at the knees. Do you hear what I say? I want you to knees. Okay, I gotta go. Bye,
girl,
y'all.
Love you, cousin.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
Peace and love, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Peace.
Bye. I was so trying to laugh and cough at the same time. We are, and that's us, okay? Everybody that's here for the Queen Jean interview, yes, this is how we roll.
I was so happy to hear her voice, like.
Lots of love.
Yes, because I haven't talked to her.
I'm just so happy,
girl. Brought me to tears.
I know. I was like, hold up. You got 40 more minutes to be strong in the Lord. So you got this. You got this. But yes, always a blessing to connect with family. And what she said was so profound when she said, if you want to do something, you got to just do it. And I had no fear.
Most definitely, you know. It's just like, basically, it's just like, this is part of your life now. You have to own it. You have to take charge of it. You can't let it take charge of you. Whatever the situations be, you take charge. You don't let it take charge of you. You know what I'm saying? Because when you let things take charge of you, it's designed to knock you down. It's going to knock you down. It's going to put you down. You're not going to be able to be successful. You're going to be in the dumps. You're going to be, what's that song, slipping into darkness. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you don't want to do. You take charge of it. You don't let it take charge of you. You know, you just do it. Because now, I remember my sister was in the convalescent home and she had a stroke and she ended up being paralyzed and she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't do too much of nothing for herself and she had gotten to a depressed state. And I told her, hey, this is part of your life now. You got to own it. You have to own it. And when she finally got the grasp of owning it, and I know it's something you got to go through because your life has changed dramatically, but you got to say, this is part of my life. I got to own it, make the best of it while I have the years to be here to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know when changes are going to come, and when they do come, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? How are you going to handle it?
Right.
You still have life.
You got
to
handle.
You just still have life.
Yeah.
You got to own it.
And it's so hard, and it's really hard when you got the, you know, people like that, just your close ones, especially when we're dealing with our mothers and our fathers and our stepmothers or whoever we may lose, young people. Just to have those people to talk to, they kind of lift you up, and you know that they're serious about it. You know that they've been through something, you know, just as similar. That's just a big testament to you as well, because from the moment I met you and got to be around you, you had that just the same disposition. Like, you're here for the betterment of somebody or whoever you deal with. It's always something it illuminates with you, if I don't get to using too big of a word. But, yeah, you illuminate and you make, you know, people, they understand you, they get you, you know. And I'm sure there's probably been times in life where you might have got somebody tried to take you for granted or something like that. But your resilience, that helps, especially the young people, okay, my kids, your grandkids, your children, your cousins, your little cousins, your older cousins. Who knows? And, with, you know, my dad being who he is, a preacher or whatnot, or maybe even Cousin Stephen, like, you doing that without a pulpit, and I hope you know that. So keep doing what you're doing.
I'm humbled to hear that, because I do hear that a lot, and I'm humbled because I can only be me. You know, I'm a light, and I have my own, I have a way of shining, not being arrogant or anything, but I know I'm a beacon of light because I know who I am, and I have that much confidence in who I am. And I know I'm a genuine person. I'm a solid person. I'm a humble person. I take nothing and no one for granted. But it's one thing for certain, another for sure. I will be your element of surprise if you come for me. You know, I would definitely do that. I don't deal with bad energy, and I don't deal with bad vibes. If I get that from you, I'm going to walk away. Because I would never let anybody take me to a place that I've already graduated from. Because the person that I mm-hmm. was at once upon a time before I got this spirituality in me like it is, it would have been a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You probably would have never met me because I probably would have caught a case a long time ago. You know, but it's like you grow up and you understand. You study people, you learn people, and you got to know when to let people off. This is, okay, it's your stop. It's time for you to get off of me. It's time for you to just be deleted. You got to know when to, you know, stop people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I stay positive most of the time. That's who I want to be because it works for me. It gives me peace to be positive.
And I'm sure it's not easy. Like, people think that people that are positive like that, like, they think that just because they may see you or you may show your face or you may do whatever you do, but they don't know what you could be going through on the inside. So that's where the blessing comes in.
Just 5 minutes before I made a post,
everybody,
it could have been something that went down.
Yeah.
You know, 5 minutes before I got a phone call, you know, but the thing about that is, if I went through something, I'm going to use social media, like 5 minutes before I made a post and then people gravitating, people, the comments I get, that's strength for me. Like Aunt Connie told me that in the post, she commented on one of my posts and she told me she looks forward to my salutations every morning. She said that really makes her day. And that really, like, wow. But I get people telling me, you know, all the time that I love your post. I love being on your feed, coming on your timeline, because I just do. I don't try to. I post what somebody can use it, because everything I post has nothing to do with me personally, but somebody can use that quote.
Right.
Somebody can, you know, it can be used. It's be right on time for people. You know, we all take our posts, our memes or our posts, and we share them because it hits.
Yeah.
It means something. So, yeah, but thank you for that. You know, I'm humbled about that. And
of course.
Always ask God to make me more like him and less of me, you know, meaning let my heart stay humble. Let me have a spiritual conscience. Don't be so quick to react, you know. I know that hatred is not a good thing to have in your heart. Even despising someone, that's not a good thing to have in your heart. And those are things that I have to pray on at times, because there are just some people that I feel that way about. So I have to pray on that all the time. And I'm just being real with that, because when I start thinking about these individuals, then it's like, ugh, you know, and I have to snap back. Like, you, now you give that too much energy. You know what I'm saying? So you don't give things that much energy. And that's what I have to constantly work on, because when you betray me, then this is how you make me feel towards you. You know what I'm saying? So I have to, and it's like the ugliest thing you can do to me. So it's like I have to work on that, because some people would say it's petty, but it ain't petty. I'm a solid one. I'm cut from this.
Well,
cloth
at least
I'm cut from it.
You're willing to work on it. Yeah, you don't give up in that. At least you're willing. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, they could be so close-minded where it's just like, yeah, you have to. Everybody has to get inside themselves, you know, especially with things like that, because I don't know what's crazy people out here, but no one wants to be an asshole all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, who really wants to just mess with people all the time, or just always be negative, or I don't like this, you know what I mean? Like, no.
Girl,
so
my
just
daddy
to be able to look
say,
into yourself and that.
Don't be chicken shit. He would say, if it's not conducive to your life, then you got to let it go.
Exactly.
If it's not beneficial for you, then you got to let it go. So I, you know, those are the things that I'd be like, okay, what, you know, so. Yeah.
Like, what is it for? Yeah, so you know, it seemed
absolutely.
Like you had to deal with that pretty much like all your life. I'm not going to say you mastered it, because you still got a long way to go. But just with the different jobs and things that you've had, you're raising your children. It sounds like you've been married. So the relationship that you have with your family, the relationship that you have with others, people on the outside world, in the AI world, again, that light, having your own business, doing that when, you know, it wasn't even too popular still back then for us to have our own daycares. See, I know a lot of people think there was this big rush for people to have daycares, but see, that wasn't the thing. It was a lot, because I work for Crystal Stair, so I know.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of people out there just doing stuff, you know, for you know what.
The check, the money.
But
it wasn't being...
The check, the money, right. They plan, like they play with the EDD and all that other stuff. But the home that you were able to provide, like, for the children, did you have that in your goal already? Like, you knew how I wanted to set my daycare up. You knew with this room. How did you come about just getting everything together?
Well, when I decided that I wanted to do a daycare, I thought you had to take a class. So I took a class for it, and come to find out you didn't have to take a class. You didn't have to do all that. But that was a bonus for me because I did it. But just, you know, opening up a daycare, you just have to, they come and they look at your place and they say, okay, it's approved. It's just all about, and they tell you what you have to have. But I just came about it, that's why it was called Mama Jean's Daycare. It was more like a home atmosphere. I didn't have the average daycare where I did have a curriculum up because you had to have that up. But I did teach the children academics and, you know, you know, I did do those things. But it was just more like a home atmosphere. I cooked three meals. They didn't eat a lot of junk food. We cooked meals.
God.
We and if I went grocery shopping, if I went grocery shopping for the daycare, I would bring the children with me and let them pick out. You know, I was like, well, they the ones who's going to be eating this. I know what I want to cook, but what do you guys want it? You know, so they would pick out the food sometimes and. They would get a treat every now and then. But it was just, you know, it was just like a home. It was like just being a mama bear to these children. You know, you taught them how to love each other and to get along with each other and to respect each other. I did do that, and also to respect their parents. But it was just like having my grandchildren there or my little nieces and nephews just at my house. And, you know, they did do work, you know, they did school work. I taught a few of them how to tie their shoes, how to write their name, how to hold a spoon or a fork.
It was
great.
TV all day.
Absolutely. That's what we didn't do. And what I used to love to do, because I've seen that the children loved it, when it was time to go back to school, have those back to school little parties. You know, we had a little parties with the big slide in the front of the front yard, and have hot dogs and whatever, you know, have the garage door open, and then even the kids in the neighborhood would come. That was one of the biggest joys for me, that memory of that, to see how the children just love that, and then to see the neighborhood kids come and hang out with them as well, because the neighborhood kids used to come down to the daycare. Even when the daycare was closed, those little boys would come down and be like, we just want to hang out with you. So they'll come inside and hang
the
out with
you. The daycare was
popping. In the back by the pool.
What do you mean? How many mornings would I say, can I just stay? Can I just call it?
And, you know, the blessing of that is I had it for 10 years. I did that for 10 years. Yeah, it was when I had to let it go, it was a sad thing for me. I was very sad. But, again, that was part of the journey.
That was
at
God's
the time,
will.
I didn't understand it. Yeah, and then the stuff
that was his will at the time.
Say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even with me being here, this is
exactly.
all part of God's plan. Me being out here in North Carolina, my daughter had been trying to get me out here. I was like, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to, you know, uproot and come and move out here. And so it was, I never thought I would be living here, but because of an incident with her health, that's what brought me out here. So, yeah, but that's part of God's plan. You know what I'm saying? Because of the way everything has happened. I said, that was God. God said, you done worked all your life. You done been married twice. You started off when you was 22 years old. Do you even know who you really are as a person? Do you really know who you are as a person?
Queen. I want to get married one day. No.
No. It's not I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying
I
never really had space for myself. You know what I'm saying? I just never got I knew, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a peace of mind. I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a relationship. I'm cool, you know? I'm just, it's all good for me because when I look back, that was part of my journey, the storms, the trials, the whatever that I went through. But now it's like God said, no, I want you to have a peace of mind. You deserve to have a peace of mind. This is your time. I'm giving you this, but I'm sending you to North Carolina to get it. Because if I leave you out here, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it.
You
so, got to
listen.
That's it.
We were talking about that last night. You got to listen. Or was that Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
yeah, shout out to the G-Lu Show, you guys, Westside Wednesdays. It was Wednesdays. You all are, I think I saw it on YouTube. If you didn't want to get the replay of that, I did see that on YouTube today, Westside Wednesdays. And then, I saw it today. That was a really good show, but we were mentioning that, how we got to listen. But, yeah, you know, to have two sets of, you know, girls about the same age, again, just tremendous the mother, and we were multicultural, so that was really good. You included everybody in everything, you know, when their birthdays came around and stuff like that. So, and then we had our extra little help sometimes, Bandana and Natalie come through, like those were good, and the kids, like, they remember that, like that's a memory. And then it's going to be another memory because now they'll have it always recorded where they can, you know what I mean, because you're gonna have a generation that comes after you. You know, and just to go back to the family and our family, our grandfather, he started making tapes. I think I shared this with you when he lived with us. And he would just tape. He would just talk to the tape recorder. Would you ever be interested, because, again, we do have a lot of authors, in sharing your story where it would be like in a book form?
Absolutely not.
Got it.
Yeah, I've always been told.
No, that's
good. Captain,
that's good.
Yeah, the captain where I worked up at USC, Captain Lanier, rest in peace, he just really took me under his wing. I used to talk to him a lot, and he said, girl, you can write a book. He's telling me I can write a book. I've had several people tell me that I can write a book, people that I've shared some of my journey with, but no, because this is just it's so much more to me. That won't be shared, but this is just a peek into, you know, who I am, but it's so much more. But no, I wouldn't want to write a book. And I know there's a lot of authors in our family, but, you know, no, I wouldn't want to write a book at all. I'm good.
Yeah,
I am a book.
It's not for everybody. Oh, he's so silly. Like, this is a book now, like, recorded and, like, write it down. I feel
pay
the
attention
same way,
to something.
You know, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
some people write a book
trouble.
Through their music. You know what I'm saying? People write a book through poetry, yeah. Through art, people write a book. You know, things are described in so many different ways. So.
Yeah, Queen, I'm going to really fast. Hold on for me one second. I'm going to shout out our sponsors again, okay? Because I know you're off and I'm the interviewee. People, we thank you so much for listening today. This is a fabulous Flashback Friday. We're having some interesting, intimate conversation with our queen, Jean. Hope you all have been having a good time. Shout out to our callers. The number is 914-803-4001. You can press 1 if you want to come on. We're shouting out our sponsors again. We do have BTP Media Group, Tui Cadillac, One World Magazine, the G-Lose After Hours Live. They're going to be premiering that 11:22 listening party on YouTube tonight. So if you still got a little time to hang with us, go on over there to the U of the Tube at 9:30 p.m. And that's going to be, 12:30 your time, Queen. And we also thank Edie Harrison. This has been, super fun. I almost got nervous because it was you know her, but just like when you said earlier, I think it's really important for people, like you said, you can't go around I know this person. Nobody knows everything about anybody, and you should not like that, but you shouldn't think
that's
that.
Real.
You know what I mean? It's always something that you can learn. You right?
Yes. Yes, that's real. I was telling my daughter that, everybody don't know everybody. There's a person inside of everybody that nobody knows, period. And sometimes it surprises the person that is inside of that, wow, this is me, this is part of me, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it's just life, you know, and you can learn something about somebody every time you have a conversation if you're listening to understand, you know.
Right.
I remember my daddy used to say, when somebody would say, oh, I hear you, because that was that old school, you know, phrase, I hear you. Oh, yeah, I hear you. My daddy used to always say, but do you understand me, though? I know you hear me, but do you understand me, though? Because anybody could say, I hear you. Okay. It's just like, what was that Chris Tucker to say? Do you understand the words that's coming out of my mouth? I ain't just talking. Listen up. When somebody's having a conversation with you, listen to them. Listen to every dotted I and every cross T, period. Every capital letter, if it's all in caps, listen. You know, you may learn something that's beneficial to you, or you may learn something to be like, ugh, you know, and it may be a turn off, or it may be like, wow. But it's just, you know, because we're not going to please everybody in this world with who we are. You know, somebody will always find something or some things that they not going to like about you. And people are good at trying to taint other people's minds when they have an issue. That's just part of this world. But I'm thankful that I've learned to understand people. You have to understand people in order to get along in this world. And then if it's not conducive to you, it's not beneficial with you, who gives a damn what they think or if they listen or you know, if they're listening when you talk, but I'm not going to have nobody in my life that if I'm talking to you, you're not listening. You're not conducive to my life. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, all good points. I'm going to share something with you, Queen, as our time is running down. It just kind of reminds me of you. I know somebody out there has probably called you this before, but it's called Lady. Okay. The lady with her head held high is always looking toward the sky, never losing sight of the ground below. She always remembers to say hello. She carries herself in such a way that she never has to apologize for anything that she says. You may think that she is stuck on herself, but if you knew her heart, it would be a big help. She will always try to be kind as she can if she could work miracles with her small, polite hands. It makes no difference if she sits or stands. She is just like music from a soft, soft band. It is no doubt that she has a lot of pride. It is only because the lady has nothing to hide. She even has her ups and her downs, but even this won't pull her to the ground. As the lady sits on her throne, the lady knows she is right at home. She also knows that one day she must go, but even that will be a top-notch show. She will leave as gracefully as she came, and the throne she held will never be the same. I just wanted to share that with you, Queen. It reminds me of you. And your uncle wrote that. That's from Afterthoughts.
That's
and it's
beautiful.
Called Lady.
Yeah. I was saying to myself that song, yeah. But that is very beautiful. Thank you. And I'm humbled. And, you know, this is going to be a little eerie, but I was thinking when the song Black Butterfly was playing, I was like, you know what would be a dope thing is when I transition at my service. I would love to have that song playing and just Black Butterflies being released. So, son, if you're still listening, that's a request. You know, that would just be, like, so beautiful to see how, okay, peaceful. But anyway, we can move on. my daughter would tell me,
yes,
you know, we're talking
about dying.
I'm
like, oh, I'm talking about that. I hate that. I'm like, oh. 50 years
I know people don't like to talk about it,
remember,
but hell, it's going to happen.
We got to be old. We got to be old on the dance floor. We got to be 20 years from now still on the dance floor talking about 11:22.
Girl, I'm young and ain't on no damn dance floor. I'm not even on the dance floor now.
You better step up to the kitchen. You better step up to the kitchen.
Well, I do, you know, around the house.
You better step up to the kitchen. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I hope your drink held up. Like I said, we are going to have a part two, hopefully, because we didn't get to too many of your tunes. But we wanted to – I keep saying we because I think DJ Maniac is still here with us on the line. We did just want to let you know. I wanted to let you know. Thank you for letting me do this. Thank you for letting me interview you. I think we covered, you know, like what I wanted to cover. We even got a few little cute trivias in there. But it's just, you know, it's just so good. It's always good. And I think we really have to cherish. You call them priceless memories. God doesn't have to give us this time. We don't have to be here every Friday. We don't have to be here every Wednesday. We don't have to be here, you know what I'm saying, every Sunday. So just for you to lend your voice, let us get a little bit, you know, insight into Queen Jean, who Queen Jean is. She's that lady I just read about. She's that mother. She's that grandmother. She's that entrepreneur. She is that light. She's that inspiration. She is that guardian, okay? She is that protector. Don't mess with Marcy. No. But yes. All the
and I thank you so much, Cousin Marcy. You know,
oh gosh.
You know, when you can feel a person's genuineness being genuine and just real, and you can feel that love, because people can say I love you, but when you can feel that love, that's one of the most amazing feelings to receive, like what you're saying to me. I know how much you love me. I know how much your girls love me. I know how much my children love me. I know how much my grandchildren love me. I know how much my cousin Sophia loves me. I know how much DJ Maniac loved me, and even G. Lou. I know when somebody loves me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting it out there because these are people that I you know, that I'm close to. And I know when somebody loves me, and I know when somebody's just saying I love you because they think that's what I want to hear. I just know, but I know your love is genuine, and I appreciate it. You know, even the three queens, you know, the girls over there, my girls over there, I know when it's genuine. And it's a blessing to have that love. It's a blessing to receive that love, because it don't have to be given to be received. You know, it can be a whole different ball game. Because everybody wants to know that somebody loves them, and it's real love. It's not just, oh, I love you, you know. If I say much love, that's a whole different ball game. You know what I'm saying? But if I say I love you, that's a whole different ball game, you know. Much love is kind of like a figure of speech, you know, especially from back in the day. That lady is really a beautiful thing, what you just read to me, but Uncle Braxton.
Oh, yes. Shout out to my dad. I love you, man.
Yeah.
You can still get your copies, people. Afterthoughts. by Braxton Berkeley. It's on the shelves. It's in the Compton School District. Okay, sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
It's a good
okay.
Book.
And also, I want to give a shout out to all 8 of my grandchildren, which that is a blessing too, to have 8 beautiful grandchildren. I mean, I just love it. I love being a nana, and I'm just praying for the day that when I can be with all my
children,
my grandchildren, all together at one time, and I just want to sit back and check them all out. You know what I'm saying? I'm praying for that day to come.
That's probably how
so
Grandfather Berkeley used to feel. How, you know, we would all be around.
Yeah, and that's when he would just sit up there with his hands in his lap and twirling his thumbs. And sometimes you would think he was asleep because his eyes would be closed, but he'd hear everything that's happening around him. Yeah, Grandfather Berkeley was
a very wise man. Somebody I love to listen to. Like, I'm telling you, like, me and him would sit, like, even with our Naomi, them living with us was, like, the best thing ever. I mean, you know, of course, other than my dad, and I love to hear that man talk. He would sing me this song called Under the Bimbo Tree. Like, what are you talking about?
That's something
real,
real old.
Hit us
real,
with his
cane
when we walk by. Yeah, or talk about his friend.
And I wanted
dude,
to
like,
also say that I'm very thankful to the Most High for blessing me to be Lil Jean, because I'm named after my mom. My mom was the most amazing, amazing woman. My mom was my friend, and I miss my mom very much, but still being here, I can take a lot of things that I learned from her and incorporate it in my life, and that was part of my daycare. You know, a lot of the stuff I got from mom, I learned from mom. So, yeah, my mom was just everything to me, everything to me. And that's why at times I still get emotional when I think about her, you know.
Yeah.
She's priceless. I remember doing the blue chip stamps with our mother. We come home from school, and we got to lick them blue chip stamps and put them in that book because it was an item that was to be purchased, you know. So, you know, I thank God for my journey. I truly do. So I wanted to say this. Lord, enlighten what's dark in me and strengthen what's weak in me. Mend what's broken in me and bind what's bruised in me. Heal what's sick in me and lastly revive whatever peace and love has died in me. You know, so Ashe, I just wanted to say that to the Most High, because we can take so many things for granted. You have to be very grateful for grace and mercy, which the Most High gives us all grace and mercy. But don't take it for granted.
Amen. I don't take it for granted.
I thank you, cousin.
Lord have mercy. I love you. Okay, we got one more thing to do, guys. DJ Maniac, do you want to join the last do you want to join the last game?
Sure. I don't mind.
Okay.
I love that accent. This is the order.
Okay. Never mind. Oh, know what you say. I don't mind. Okay. Queen, you are first, okay? This is the order. Queen, Cousin Mercy, DJ Maniac, okay? That's the order. We plan what comes next, okay? You're going to get it. Too long to say what comes next. We're doing numbers. Queen started off with 1.
What comes next?
No, just say 1. We lost already. We lost already.
Oh, my goodness. I knew I was tripping. That's why I started laughing. Like, what's wrong with you?
I know. That's why I'm fucking with you. That's why I'm fucking with you. We gonna try again. Okay, ready? You ready? All right, go, Queen.
Oh my goodness. 1.
2.
3.
4.
5.
6.
7.
8.
9.
10. What the hell is going on?
We did it. Congratulations, y'all. That's like one of these games you can play. You know, when you would sit in a circle with your friends and y'all would get high.
Oh, my goodness. That's why I said, what the hell
Nothing
is going on?
Nothing I've ever done that. That is
oh
so
my God.
Hilarious.
And what did
Thank
I say? What
playing.
Comes next?
She said, I said, say what? She said, what comes next?
Because I thought I was supposed to say, what comes next? And then somebody's going to say, oh, well, what comes next is that I'm just going to keep doing this in my life and do this or try to. See, I'll be like,
it was just. Look, it was just a little faded humor, you know, a little college game, you know, a little.
Oh
little
yeah, I needed
circle,
that. I
close,
needed that laughter.
You know,
that was a good.
Yeah,
that was a
yeah.
good laughter. Yeah, because I knew I messed up. That's why I started laughing. Yeah, I was like,
I know.
What comes next?
Okay.
And I couldn't do nothing but laugh because I said to myself, "No, you were supposed to say one." But thank
it's
you for
the
such
mood.
A great conversation. I truly enjoyed it, and thank you for
of
everybody
course.
Who tuned in. And DJ Maniac, you know, I love you, so thank you for tuning in. Always,
yes, thank you,
blessing
you.
Us with
love
a call and hanging out with us. Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah,
thank you to
so,
Gilu. Gilu, you all right over there?
Absolutely.
Say SOS. You could have played the game, too. Just say SOS. Just let us know. See, the more people that play, the funnier it is. I'm not drinking coffee no more before I start the show. Because I know y'all like, what? What?
At least we got some nice rain going right now, so it sounds good outside.
Nice.
40 degrees out here. Oh, DJ Maniac, you're not
what?
At work, huh?
I am.
Oh, they probably like, you tripping, dog. What, you in there counting?
Nah.
What, you
no,
in there
in
counting?
A, he's in the, look, he hiding in a janitor's closet.
Right.
Ain't nobody finding
him. I'm actually the vet, making up, printing out some case studies.
Uh-huh.
Look,
right,
I used to be
well,
like,
got...
they'd be like, can you go make copies in the office? I'll go make copies. That was just like a good getaway, you know. I'm going to go over in the back office and make copies. Yeah,
oh,
you take your time. You act like,
get,
you act like the machine is jammed up. You take the tray. Oh, the paper is jammed up. Just back there BSing. So, yeah, those are fun days in the office. What you doing? I'm trying
I
to
think...
make copies, but the ink ain't printing right. Okay. What you think, cousin?
We're about to get cut off, y'all. But I love you, Queen. Thank you, Mr. G. Lou. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you, DJ Maniac. And I'm going to let Queen have the last word.
Oh, I just want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in. And I thank you, Cousin Marcy, for a great conversation, a lot of laughter, fun. I appreciate it. And thank you, Son, for calling in. Peace and love to everybody. Tomorrow is Saturday. Thank God it's Friday today. Saturday, the weekend comes. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Be blessed. And if you're outside, keep your head on the swivel and keep your finger on your trigger. Be safe because it's a boogeyman. The boogeyman is out there. The boogeyman is definitely
mm-hmm.
out there. So, yeah, you got to be aware because don't get caught slipping. Whatever you do, say a kind word. This is the holidays where people don't have it. So say a kind word. Smile at someone. Smile at someone and pray for the sick, the homeless, and the shut-in. Just pray for them and be thankful for what you got. So peace and love, Ashe, and be yourself.
Yes,
ask yourself.
Exactly. And with that, we out. Peace and love, y'all.
Peace and love.